And we're back once again.
Yeah, it looks
none too worse for wear.
Looks like a lot of people are here already. I thought you see Sophie in there. What's up, Soph?
Wow, she comes by all the time.
Yeah, so Soph's in here. Alex, Oracle, Tammy, Alex.
You guys just never get sick of listening to us. Yeah, do you? That's crazy.
It's going to be a short one anyway.
Yeah, it's just the Sunday one.
Yeah, it's not like it's a 3-hour show like last night.
Last night it was 4 hours.
4 hours.
I think it ended up being like right at 4 hours. I still have to do the audio, like it's not letting me. Sometimes it takes longer, like for the audio to process, like for me to download and put up on the blog and shit.
Yeah.
But the video's up there.
I don't even know if we stayed on topic. I don't think we did.
Yeah, but you know.
Yeah. I remember talking about all kinds of stuff.
We kinda talked about
it. Yeah. We need to put the fucking loaded level on the side. It goes up.
I liked Ken's idea of doing like, well, because my idea was like to do, you know, a traffic light, but Ken, I think Ken had the idea to do DEF CON, and I was like, oh, okay, I like that better.
Right, yeah, DEF CON 1, you really fucked up. Kind of lose track.
I didn't do too bad last night. I think Sophie said I was still just at the yellow stage. Yeah. Like, I was like, you know, slurring a little bit, but I was still kind of, and I still kind of remembered, although. Do you want to hear something funny? Like, I did this before I left. Like, I wrote a little note over here on my notebook that says, you ended the stream and posted this on Instagram. You're fine.
Okay.
So that I would see that. Like,
Hernandez said that, told me to shut it down, that you were starting to slur. Tom, shut it down. She's starting to drift.
Yeah, it was kind of getting into
that. Because you'll start going in little circles, you know, where you'll say, like, kind of like the, you'll say the same thing 4 or 5 times, but you say it in a different way each time you say it.
That's like the fine art of bullshitting.
Yeah, you're.
That's how you make essays longer when you're in school and stuff like that. You just like say the same thing a whole bunch of times.
Say the same thing like 4 times. Different way.
That's what I was trying to do. I'm trying to like pad out.
Yeah, you're spiraling down the drain. Going down the drain.
It was.
I'm like, stop. Just shut it off, Jenny. Shut it off. Shut it down. And then it shut it down.
Yeah. It was. I had a fun show last night. Like I said, we were probably. I think Sophie told us afterwards. Like, you're probably like off topic more than on. But oh well, fuck it. I don't care. I don't care anymore.
That subject actually was. I didn't think it was all that interesting. I got one a true crime one we need to do. I want to do the North Hollywood shooting.
Yeah.
Remember the two bank robbers all in the body armor with the machine guns?
Oh, right.
That
fought
the cops for like
three hours.
Let me
write that down because otherwise I'll forget.
Yeah, the North Hollywood shooting.
The topic we're doing next week, because like I said, the Patreon polls closed at noon today. So I know, I'm not going to like spoil it, but I know what the next week's topic is going to be and the next week's movie is going to be. So the next one's going to be true crime. And it was not even close. Like, but I'm actually glad that we're doing the one we're doing because I've been wanting to do that one for a really long time. And I kept putting it in the polls and like, it's kept getting outvoted, but it finally like got, everybody just decided they wanted to do it next week, I guess. For like the post Thanksgiving show.
Fort George Dallas, it was mostly about food.
What else is new?
Yeah.
That's like, we really don't eat that much, I swear. That's probably why we end up like talking about food so much, because like we're hungry and we know we're not supposed to eat. We're not supposed to eat that much. It's like, so we have to just like talk about it. You say you left an oatmeal cream pie.
Yeah, I got one.
In here.
I got one.
Because you brought two.
It's a backup.
You brought two in when you came last night and you ate one like on the show. And then
that's an emergency little Debbie.
That's an emergency little Debbie.
Yeah, just in case. They have like this emergency. Oh, I got to have that.
Oh shit, man, my blood sugar. Yeah. But yeah, so as I mentioned, I think I mentioned it last night on the show, the movie we're reviewing today.
Yeah.
It's a documentary. I think it originally came out in 2019 and like did the, you know, rounds of festivals and stuff. But Shudder just dropped it. And I guess it's like a Shudder original. So I'm assuming that Shudder is the only place you can see it at this point. And this is called Leap of Faith, not the Steve Martin movie. William Friedkin on The Exorcist.
Yeah, it was good. It was a good documentary. I liked it.
This was actually directed by Alexander Philippe, who was the same guy who did The People versus George Lucas. You remember that documentary? Yeah. Which I liked that one a lot. He's done like a bunch of documentaries. He did one about the shower scene from Psycho. The whole documentary was about the shower scene, which I kind of want to see that, but you know, that sounds like really good.
What was The People versus George Lucas? What was that about?
That was kind of about the George Lucas fandom, and I think it was about, it came out like several years ago, but it was kind of about how, like the backlash against the prequels
right, yeah.
and all that other kind of stuff.
Which I think we were talking about that on the show last night too, like about Star Wars, because we always get off on that Star Wars food, you know.
Right.
But yeah, so this is the same guy that directed that. He's directed like a lot of I guess like he's particularly interested in filmmakers and the filmmaking process, so he makes like a lot of documentaries about that. Now this one I will say, because I watched, there's not a hell of a lot of reviews of this, at least video ones like on YouTube, but one guy that I watched that reviewed it, he has a horror channel, and he wasn't real into it. He thought it was kind of boring, but the thing about it, I wouldn't recommend it to you if you're not super into The Exorcist, or if you're not super into filmmaking, or if you're not interested in like getting into like the real like little details about the creative process. Because basically this documentary is just an hour and 40 minutes of William Friedkin talking about all of his influences, talking about the making of The Exorcist. I mean, it goes like into everything like super in depth, like all the influences he had, like other films. It kind of goes into his relationship with William Peter Blatty, like how he found the music for it, like all this other kind of stuff. And so, you know,
they were fighting over the music. They fought over the music.
Well, there were all these really, I mean, William Friedkin, and they don't go into this much, because I think there was another documentary about Friedkin that came out a couple years ago. I think it was like back in 2017. And he has a reputation of being, I don't know if I'd call him like a dick, but he does have a reputation for being real volatile and for doing things that wouldn't fly today, like to get particular performances out of actors.
Yeah, slapping people.
And famously, both Ellen Burstyn and Linda Blair underwent some physical abuse on the set of The Exorcist, which, you know, a lot of people know about because it's like a story that's been told over and over. They don't really go into that on this particularly. This is kind of more about just his whole process of coming up with, you know, why the movie is the way that it is. And it's weird. The theme of it almost seems like, I get the feeling that, because he's kind of a religious guy.
Yeah, he goes into the paranormal too.
Yeah, and I get the feeling that he thought that a lot of things that came together for the movie, for The Exorcist, were, like, fated to happen.
Yeah.
Like, he goes a lot into that.
He said he also did some things, you know, like, in the first one-third of that movie, which is the setup towards The Exorcist, or the exorcism in the back. He said he did certain things that he didn't know what it meant, but it worked out. Like, it was paranormal stuff, like, what was it, clocks ticking and things breaking and and things that were foreshadowing, you know, the Pazuzu and finding the Pazuzu statues. A lot of that was stuff he said he just kind of pulled it out of his ass in a way. But it worked. I think, you know, I talk about it a lot, talk about the unconscious.
Yeah,
a lot.
Yeah.
And I think he's pulling a lot of that stuff out of his unconscious.
Oh, yeah, big time.
Because, you know, who is that psychologist that wrote all that stuff about that? That your unconscious is actually far more creative than you. Oh, shit. You guys know who I'm talking about. He's famous. He's kind of like a Jung.
Yeah,
Jung, Carl Jung. He's doing a bunch of Jungian stuff, which, you know, we ought to do something on Jung because...
Oh, yeah, that's actually...
Yeah, write that, because there are some people that were involved with that dude that swore up and down paranormal shit happened around Jung, and that Jung could do... Or Jung would inspire you to do things, you know, he'd write things in a book, and then you'd try to move inward and go inward into your consciousness and access other parts of your consciousness, and, like, people would have reported paranormal stuff. And we're not talking about, you know... just laymen, we're talking about scholars and stuff, you know, real reputable people said, yeah, I kind of saw something that was going to happen and it happened. Or, you know, I felt a presence and, you know, you heard about that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be a good show.
It would, Jungian actually. Stuff. Yeah, I'll put it on my little thing and put it in the box.
He was working on some kind of book. It had a bunch of weird drawings in it. Do you know that?
I'm not sure, you know.
Okay,
I'm
you have to do some research on it. I just remember that he was working on some kind of a book that was a bunch of drawings that had come from the subconscious. And I don't know if he ever finished it, but evidently some people reported some paranormal or mind-altering effects when they got involved with that book, when they read it and thought about it. It's weird.
Yeah.
But, like, I don't know that much about it. I just heard about it in passing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So maybe we need to do a show about that. I don't know if anybody in the comment section knows what I'm talking about. It was mentioned on a documentary about Jung.
Yeah.
This stuff.
Well, like I said, it's been a long time since I've read anything about him, so I wouldn't really know.
That if you got into a certain mindset, weird shit would happen. It sounded like Poltergeist stuff.
Yeah.
Very similar.
I see a couple of people in the comments like Tila and Mango Badger have watched this documentary already and really loved it.
Yeah, we mentioned it.
I found this like really engaging. You know what I mean? It's just like I was fascinated by, because I'm fascinated by other people's like creative process. And so the fact that he went into all these little details and he was just kind of going how all of these things sort of came together, like you said, almost in a supernatural way. But like I said, I think he kind of attributes it to supernatural, maybe. Like, that was the implication that I got. But like you said, I think that he is such a student of film and art and music and things like that, that it's almost kind of like he's just pulling these things. Yeah. Like, he's unconsciously doing it.
Yeah, back when I used to draw a lot, I would fucking sometimes just make these fantastic fucking drawings of the human figure. I didn't remember drawing them. You know what I'm talking about? It's kind of like you go into a trance and you just draw them.
Well, yeah, I've always...
It's almost like another part of you is doing it. And then when it's done, you can't remember actually how you did it.
I've always found that my best short stories were written when I wasn't really thinking about it. When I was just kind of like writing without, like almost like automatic writing.
Right,
you know what I mean?
Jung has talked a lot about that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And your consciousness can get in the way.
It does.
Of your creative abilities.
Yeah.
If you're thinking about it too much, it fucks it up. That's letting the force flow.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's what they're talking about.
And that's why it took me so long to really, like, get into, like, fiction writing and stuff like that. Because I had always wanted to write fiction, but I feel like I was getting in my own way too much. When I finally, like, just said, fuck it, and I'm just, like, not even going to think about it. I'm just going to put a pen on paper and just, like, start writing shit. It came out a lot better.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So Victor asked, how long is it? I think it's about an hour and 40 minutes. Roughly.
It's a very good documentary about how film is made, about cinema.
Well, yeah. I mean, this guy, I mean, he had...
It's really done, not how they do it today. It's not corporate bullshit, artistic stuff. Go ahead, Jim.
He talked a lot about, like I said, he talked a lot about his relationship with William Peter Blatty. Like I said, this dude is, you know, very famously, he doesn't like bullshit people. So, like, William Peter Blatty... I don't know if you guys know this story. The guy that wrote the novel, he also wrote a screenplay treatment and gave it to William Friedkin because they were friends. And basically, he told William Friedkin, hey, I will give you my percentage of, you know, the money that we get for, like, the rights or whatever if you will cast me in this movie as Father Karras, because Father Karras was based on William Peter Blatty. Like, he wrote himself into the story, and that was him. And so basically... I mean, Friedkin, like, apparently reads William Peter Blatty's screenplay and is basically, like, not in so many words, but he's like, this sucks and it needs to be, like, rewritten, even though he'd written the book. But it's like writing a book and writing a screenplay are two different things, as, you know, as we've talked about many times. So I do feel like that there was that whole thing. Now, originally, something else I didn't know, too, was that originally they had cast Stacy Keach, right, as Father Karras.
Yeah.
He was already cast. It was a done deal, you know, and everything. And then Friedkin saw Jason Miller, who actually at the time he hadn't been in any movies or anything like that. He was just like a playwright, and he was in, you know, he was like a theater actor. And so, you know, Friedkin happened to see Jason Miller in one of his own, like, performing in one of his own plays. And he thought that he's like, that's Father Karras, and I don't even care. So they had to pay Stacy Keach off. Because he thought he got the role, and he's like, sorry, man, we found somebody else who left. I'm like, that must have been, like, a funny conversation.
I got to answer some questions. Yeah, Oracle, yeah, you got it. The book I was talking about was The Red Book, Carl Jung's Red Book. Yeah, I remember hearing there was some people reported some kind of, like, paranormal-type events around that book after they had read it. And I don't know if they were taking any mind-altering drugs, which I think sometimes they did. But evidently... That book had a bunch of writings in it and a bunch of drawings. And they said that it could kind of affect you. I don't know, somehow get you in touch with the collective unconscious. And basically kind of, it's a situation kind of like you hear about ayahuasca.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Coming in contact with, you know, extra dimensional voices or imagery and beings and alien souls and shit like that. I'm real interested in that kind of stuff. I need to find out more about that.
Well, yeah, like I said, as soon as we're done, I'll write it on. Because, I said, I have this little thing that has,
that'd
like...
be a good show.
That has, like, all these little colorful things, and I just write all the recommendations for movies or whatever, and I throw them in the little box so I can, like, put them in the polls or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but I like that guy's director. I think he's up there with kind of like Kubrick. Kubrick did similar kind of shit like that. Those, you know, Kubrick was actually my favorite one. Kubrick did some really cool shit.
I mean, Kubrick and David Lynch are probably my favorite directors, I would think.
I don't know enough about David Lynch. He was doing that surrealism.
I love that kind of shit.
It kind of, I don't know. I'm not too much into it.
Sometimes a lot of his movies...
Some of it seems like quackery.
It's not, though. It's not, I mean, he's doing the same thing as Friedkin was talking about in this documentary. David Lynch is basically like, well, I'm just going to put whatever I feel in there and we'll work it out later.
Right.
And it generally does, like, work out as something.
Yeah.
So he's, like, very, like, intuitive. Like, he doesn't worry too much about, you know, plot coherence or anything. He's like, I'm just going to, like, work. And, you know, much like Friedkin, because William Friedkin talked a great deal in this about Citizen Kane, which, you know, obviously one of his favorite movies. And another movie from 1955, which I think is called Ordet or something like that. And he talked about some of, like, Ingmar Bergman a little bit, too. So they're students of not only other filmmakers, but they're also, Friedkin in particular, is, like, a big, he was a big, like, art history guy. Like, he talked, a bit about Caravaggio and Rembrandt's paintings, like, Rembrandt's portraits, like, how that inspired his lighting in various films. And he also talked a lot about music. And the funny thing about this, he was talking about The Exorcist, and he's, like, now... Because, you know, most people who know about filmmaking know that when you do your rough cut, you usually just put in whatever music, like, in the background that you want, like, the director, and then they, you know, give that to whoever the person is that's going to be doing the score for the movie, because this is kind of what I wanted, you know, kind of what I had in mind. And what ended up happening with this is that Friedkin was like, I don't like scores that tell you how you're supposed to feel, like, in the movie. Like, he's like, I don't like these kind of emotional cues and stuff like that, like, in the music. He's like, I wanted something a lot more subtle and, like, a lot more, and, like, some parts that didn't even really have any music, or even some music that wasn't really music. He was talking about, like, Igor Stravinsky's, like, Rite of Spring and, like, all this layered, like, how it kind of, like, built on itself. So he was talking a lot about that. And then what ended up happening was, I guess, the first guy, because he had put all these pieces of music in there, like, that was similar to what he wanted. And then they gave it to the first guy that did the score, and Friedkin was like, no, I hate it. It's like, that was exactly what I did not want. And it so happened, he's like, I wanted something more like a lullaby or something. But then he just happened to come across, you know, the very famous Mike Oldfield piece, Tubular Bells. And he was like, that's it. That's what I want. So they were, like, able to get the rights to do that. And
yeah, and that shit's iconic.
And it's, yeah, it's like everybody thinks of that. Which, shit, we even had that on vinyl in my house as a kid.
Well, it doesn't tell you how to feel, but it's emotionally evocative.
That's what he wanted.
It encourages you to do something, but it doesn't tell you to do it. We still have the Exorcist, don't we?
Yeah.
It makes you want to see that shit again.
I definitely do want to watch. I mean, just watching it, I mean, the way that... And something that he said in there that really struck me, because he's like, I tried to be subtle about this, so you probably didn't notice until I just said it. And you're like, oh, yeah. I was like, yeah, you're right. I didn't notice. He's like, there are so many shots in this movie that are purposely done to evoke ascension. He's like, people are always, like, walking upstairs, or, like, you know, these shots of, like, people going upwards. And once they kind of, like, edited it all together, I was like, holy shit, that was like a motif that I hadn't really noticed in that movie. So I thought that this documentary, I mean, not only because I was, you know, like, geeking out about, like, all the art history stuff, because I love that kind of shit, and I love, you know, creative people talking about, you know, shit that they like and, like, where they get their inspiration from. So that was already really fascinating. But, you know, The Exorcist being, you know, easily one of my favorite horror movies that I've seen many times. And it's really cool because listening to him talk it, you know, to such depth about it really gave me, like, a new appreciation for it. Yeah. And like you said, it makes you want to, like, watch it again. They talked a lot about Mercedes McCambridge too, like the woman that did the the demon's voice, you know? They talked a lot about that. But a lot of the stuff that he said in this was stuff that I hadn't known about the movie. Because I do know a lot of things about the movie, like I said, about Linda Blair getting hurt and, you know, and Ellen Burstyn getting hurt, that one particular scene where she gets thrown across the room. And, you know, Friedkin being kind of like, you know, punching people to get, like, shooting guns off on the set, like, to get certain reactions and stuff like that. So I knew about that. They went a little bit into that, but the shit that he was talking about on here was, like, a lot more... I guess a lot more nebulous, like a lot more like from an artistic standpoint, and I found it like really, really interesting.
It was good.
I found it really fascinating. Like I said, if you're not super into The Exorcist, you're not super into like creative filmmaking stuff, because it's basically just him talking the whole time, and then they cut in, you know, scenes like what he's talking about and stuff like that. So it's not like a bunch of talking heads like talking about The Exorcist. It's him talking about The Exorcist for an hour and 40 minutes, you know. Yeah. And
Tila's saying she's going to watch it again. Made her want to see it again.
Yeah, it's like, I kind of wanted to. I don't know if we'll have time tonight, but maybe tomorrow night.
Yes. So Tila saw the hand. She likes the hand.
Yeah.
She like. I don't know. Did you like heavy metal? I don't think she really mentioned it. Because I think she said she liked heavy metal. And I think I don't know if she watched The Island.
Yeah.
Maybe she said she did. Because she's been reporting back which ones she's been watching that we recommended. You know, what was that one that we mentioned yesterday, the one about the dead people?
Dead and Buried.
Dead and Buried.
Because I said that I saw that big framed poster in the bookstore that I was at.
Yeah, Teal, if you haven't seen Dead and Buried, you'd probably like that one, too. That was a fucking weird flick.
That might be on Tubi. I mean, I think it's on Shudder, but I think it might be on Tubi as well.
Yeah.
Unless maybe I'm crazy, I don't know. But yeah, I would definitely recommend this if you're at all interested in The Exorcist or interested in like the filmmaking process.
Yeah,
because it does go a lot into, and he talks a lot about music and he talks a lot about his artistic influences and stuff like that. So
not
if that, I mean,
Bergman flicks.
Yeah. So like, if that sounds like something that'll bore you to death, then don't. But other than that, like, I found it just fascinating, like from start to finish.
I liked how he went into the paranormal and he didn't discount it. He said he just didn't know. It's the unknown.
Well, he's kind of a religious guy. I mean, you know what I mean? So it's not something...
That's good for me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I like religions. I know what they are. You know what I mean? They don't... It's mythology in a way. But that doesn't mean that certain ideas in them aren't true. You know? Some of those are universal concepts.
Yeah.
Of an afterlife. You know, which I think there is an afterlife. You know? I think there is a thing like a God, but my version of it probably more like the Force.
Yeah, I'm like, if I'm going to go, because I'm, you know, like, I'm pretty, like, you know, I'm pretty atheistic, but if I was going to go anywhere in that direction, that's about as far as I would go. I don't think that there's any kind of, like, a being, like, an intelligent being up there, necessarily.
The Greeks and the Persians and the Mesopotamians... they all believed in basically titans, giant people in the sky that walked around and had things. And if you look at Genesis, what they're describing is a giant man who's God. He has a garden out in the middle of the fucking desert, and he's made gardeners to take care of it. And it says he walks around in the coolness of the day, you know, and tries to cool off in the garden. So they're talking about a titan.
Yeah.
You know, a big, giant man. You know? I don't believe it's not going to be that. You know? It's not going to be a big, giant, Middle Eastern potentate. You know, he's created the universe, you know? I think that's kind of far out, you know? Just like...
Godzilla stomping around.
Yeah. Like that. Well, that's basically what you're talking about. They're talking about the same thing on Mount Olympus. Like, there's a mountain that's tall enough where there's giant fucking... humanoid people, you know, a dude, his wife, and all his children, and they're coming down, cracking the mortal women, and making demigods, and that's exactly what the Old Testament and the New Testaments are talking about.
Yeah.
By the Greco-Roman standards, Jesus would have been a demigod. Just, you know, his mother was a mortal woman, his father was Zeus, basically. You know, they're talking about Perseus, a guy like Perseus, you know. And we know that doesn't happen. But that happened all the time in Greco-Roman mythology. You know, God come down and get you knocked up, and then you have his kid, and he was like a Nephilim.
Yeah.
That's what they're talking about.
Yeah, Cowspell's just mentioned Nephilim.
Nephilim. Yeah. You know, demigods.
Has anybody ever made a movie? I mean, this is a dumb question because I'm sure somebody probably has. Has anybody ever made a movie that had like a Godzilla-sized Jesus in it as like the antagonist? Like Jesus.
No, I think in the Book of John, though, it says that, you know, when Jesus came out, when it describes a scene where Jesus comes, rolls the fucking stone out of the way, and a huge cross comes out and announces him, and then he's comes out of there, and I think it says he's pretty big.
Dun,
and
da,
then,
da,
he
go,
then he goes to heaven.
Everybody's like, pimping.
Yeah. Each gospel is a different story. They sound the same if you read one after the other, because you've kind of forgotten all the details, but if you read them side by side, they're very different.
Yeah.
They're different authors, and they're not talking about something that happened historically. It's very much like Greco-Roman mythology.
It's like fanfic. It's like they're riffing on a common theme.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's just like Superman.
Yeah.
Superman comic books. You can reboot that story over and over and over again. It's still Superman, but the stories are slightly different.
Yeah.
You know, you got Chris Reeve's Superman, you know. You got this new Superman they're dealing with now. You know, it's just, you can tell that story different ways.
And yeah,
that's what they're doing. They just—it's a—they got four of them in there, like a best of, like a greatest hits.
Yeah,
a collection of the greatest stories about Jesus is what they're talking about. And there's four because there's four corners to the earth, probably.
Yeah,
the four pillars that the earth stands on.
Like it does.
Yeah, the earth is flat. It's standing on some pillars. Like nobody knows what the pillars are standing on.
Turtles.
Yeah,
all the way
down.
You got
the waters. And then, you know, you got the waters of the ocean and the waters of the sky, because we know that shit fucking, it's all blue, and we know it goes up into the air. You look up, you see blue water, and when it rains, it's falling.
Yeah.
You open up the waters of the sky, and here it comes. It all makes sense when you
look
at it.
We're inside the metrodome.
You're in a dome. A fundament.
Every time somebody says fundament, it just makes me think butthole.
Whatever.
I don't know why. Fourth Throwdown said Clash of the Jesus. See, I would totally watch that. You know?
Yeah.
They chain Andromeda to a rock, and it's instead of the Kraken coming out of the fucking water, it's Jesus coming out of there, and then he eats her. Or he tries to. Somebody better have made that movie, that's all I'm saying. But yeah, so it seems like, you know, the people that have seen this documentary already are really into it. And I was also really into it. So, you know, are you done?
Yeah.
With whatever it was that you wanted to say?
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. So Tila said she just added Dead and Buried to her watch list as well. Yeah, I really like that movie. It's like, it's pretty weird. And it's like,
it's a zombie movie, but it's unlike any other.
Sorta. Yeah.
It's kind of like that, but not really.
Yeah, I really liked it. Yeah, it's creepy.
It creeped me out as a kid.
I just found it so strange that the only movie poster in that bookstore happened to be for that movie, which I thought was very random and interesting.
Yeah.
I was just like, huh, okay, that's weird. All right, so I guess we'll shut it down for the day, and we will be back tomorrow to talk about another movie. I don't know what it's going to be yet. I got a couple ones written down for possibilities, but we'll see where it is. So thanks, everybody, for dropping by, and we'll see you guys again tomorrow. Bye.